Real fast, some people are still giving you some advice for your gout.
Yeah.
Take
gout in the elbows. That's what we've come up with today.
Zach. He's got gout in the elbows.
You got gout. How do you get gout in the elbows?
I don't know.
The elbow, like working overtime, doing like what are you doing?
Buys and tries, I guess. I don't know.
A lot of pumping, huh?
Someone says to take tart cherry capsules.
Okay, someone was saying cherry juice,
like just straight cherry juice.
Okay, tart cherry capsules.
Yeah,
Let me put that in my notes. But we're not quite sure if it's gout or like
tendonitis.
Yeah, both
Somebody
elbows at
that.
The exact same time.
Whoa.
Yeah, really, really odd. So trying to figure that out. Could be just old age.
That's golf, right?
I don't think so. I've never had it. But like both elbows start hurting like while you're playing golf? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's weird.
It is.
It's different.
It really is. So trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, we'll report back to y'all.
Have you two ever had gout?
No, but I've heard it's just, my buddy Dan, actually, one of my best friends in the world, is going through it right now for the first time.
And his feet, right?
Yes.
That's usually what it is. My dad had it in his feet. Like, I never knew elbows.
Now, is gout when you start getting older?
I think maybe your diet a little bit.
Look at me. I'm 18 years old, y'all.
Right.
I'm good.
You're good for a while.
You're a puppy.
Right.
You're catching up in certain departments.
Don't
you're catching up
yourself. Missing them workouts, aren't you?
What were you guys just saying about Ryan McMahon? Or did I mishear that?
No. I was telling when we were at the home opener, this was earlier in the show, when we were at the home opener years ago, I was like, that guy right there, that's my favorite swing in all of baseball, is Ryan McMahon. And he struggled last year. I thought he would really take that step forward. Struggled offensively and defensively, but he's balling this year. Josh was like, all I know is he's got great legs. That's all Josh knows.
Yeah,
he's got great legs.
Like trunks?
I don't know about that. I know he's got a great swing.
Between Zach and Josh, for some reason, they're really into like, you know, evaluating a guy's body part when it comes to a leg or a thigh or a butt. He got the big buttock.
That comes in play sometimes.
What did I say that about? Oh, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
He's got skinny legs, but he's got a big butt to have skinny legs, which is unusual.
Oh, yeah.
That's an unusual combination.
He's
got a little badonkadonk back there, but a little toothpicks beneath it, which is bizarre.
Remember a few years ago when, who was the Broncos wide receiver who caught a touchdown because his butt cheeks hit the ground?
Oh, yeah.
KJ Hamler.
Like, that's important.
Yeah. Yes.
Very important.
Butt cheek awareness.
But Rymack, kidding aside, and maybe you mentioned it, he's third in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Batting average right now.
He's hitting the heck out of the ball.
I mean, wow. I love it.
We actually see it. Right. There's a few guys that are stepping up. I mean, Charlie Blackmon.
Yep.
So, they're not all doing terrible.
No.
And you look at the lineup and you go through the lineup.
It's solid.
So settle down. I mean, seriously, can we give them a little credit? I mean,
I feel like we switched roles here.
Right.
I love their
Tovar and Diaz. You know, I mean, we got Jonesy and Rogers and Montero. Yeah, solid.
Tell
lineup.
You what, man. When you guys all want to get back on the boat, all right.
Oh!
When y'all want to get back on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling good after last night.
So you didn't take the cash out.
I did not take the cash out.
Dude.
And I'm glad I didn't because now you win and the number just kind of lowered. Like, I'm waiting until they go on a 3-game win streak, get that cash out to like $25.
Oh.
That's the goal. It's not to win the bet.
Wow.
At this point, it's to.
You're playing with fire, my man.
I know
it can't go the other way.
There's no question.
And then at a certain point, I think Bearcat's just going to stop being a nice guy and just take it off the table.
He's such a nice guy that ain't happening.
You're using his kindness against him. Kisner, clip that for me. I'm going to send that to Bearcat.
Bearcat should take it off the table right now because you said that.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Hey, I got to shoehorn in defense of myself something that was said earlier in the show, all right, because I get misrepresented. Misrepresented. When I had the shift of the focus of the backstretch of the Nugget season is all about health and not seed, it wasn't based off of anything that Michael Malone said.
Mm.
And there's a big distinction because I'm at home. I'm taking care of my daughter, right? Being a great dad, got her out for a walk in some
look
sunshine.
At you.
I got the earbuds in.
Why?
Dad of the year.
And I heard Stokely going,
Michael Martin, Zach Bybarted, hook, line, and sinker, isn't it?
When Malone said, and I'm paraphrasing, Malone said, hey, it's all about health.
Yeah.
And of course he's lying. Right? He's lying.
he's a coach.
And exactly.
Right.
For all the reasons you guys pointed out. When Jokic is in a game down 16 with a minute left, like, what are we doing?
Right.
Right? So he's lying. My shift was based on what my eyes told me. I could care almost to a shocking degree what these guys say after the game. I put so little value in what they actually say. But what my eyes told me a week and a half ago against Phoenix, against Minnesota, when it did not look like they had gas in the tank, do you guys know that after the game against Minnesota tomorrow night, it'll be the first time in over a month that the Nuggets don't play every other day? They have played every other day for a month straight. They have not had 2 days off. And so when I saw what I saw, and it comes from a supreme confidence with if they're healthy, they can take care of whoever no matter what, that's where I think, like, tonight, I don't want to see Jamal Murray.
You don't?
I don't want to see him.
But if they lose tonight,
if they lose tonight, it's on the Nuggets. The Jazz are awful. They're riding the third longest losing streak in the history of that franchise right
but
now.
But you know how it is playing over there with the Utah Jazz. It's hard to win. It's hard to win over there.
To them in Utah, something like
1-14
that.
1-14 in the Malone era in 15 games.
I was also just told by Drew that Aaron Gordon's officially out tonight.
Okay, I don't want to see him either. Perfect. But they had no John Collins, no Jordan Clarkson, no Lauri Markkanen. Like, if you can't go into Salt Lake and beat them, their C team with the world's best player and some complimentary figures,
And you're right. You're right on that. Like, without Markkanen and Collins and Jordan Clarkson, I mean, come on. What are we doing here? If Jokic is playing and KCP, is he playing?
Yes.
Playing?
Yes.
So, like,
he's been doing good, man.
If Michael Porter Jr. is playing, all right. You know, we'll put in Christian Brown and Peyton Watson or Reggie Jackson, whatever, we'll be fine. But, like, I totally just kind of forgot this, that they're only one game up on OKC for the second spot if they don't win the third spot. I mean, OKC's just one out of Minnesota and Denver, who are tied at the top right now. And I think OKC has the tiebreaker. Like, is it important for you at all to stay at least at number two, or you could really just care less about seeding at all?
I know they're a top three seed. If for some reason they don't win tonight or they don't win tomorrow night, like, if they don't win tonight, don't even show Minnesota anything tomorrow night, because you're already a top three seed. So it comes from a place of confidence in the team if they're healthy. And if Jamal Murray could not bring himself to play in a basketball game 5 days ago, I don't want to see him play back-to-back nights 5 days later. I just don't, because this whole operation doesn't work without him. And we waited 2 years for that guy to get healthy, and in the first year they won a championship when he did. We got 4 games left. Just get to the start of the race, because we are not going to be talking about any of this stuff when the new race starts, and I just need him to be healthy. That's the only thing I need.
I'm the opposite, man. I don't want to see Jamal the whole entire game. We shouldn't have to. Okay, but we all know he's going to be on a time limit, you know.
Like a minute restriction.
For sure. So go out there, get your feet wet. You have been gone for 7 games, right? We all talked about the stamina part. Let him go out there, run around. He doesn't have to be out there all game. But go out there if Jokic has to go out there, all right? If MPJ has to go out there, if KCP has to go out there, Aaron Gordon's dealing with, like, a little something. So, of course, he's out.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't doing something, he'd be out there. So, for Jamal, it's like, go out there for a little while, run around. You don't have to be Superman. Make some good passes. Shoot a couple shots. Get your stamina up. And that's what I want to see from him. So, I want to see him out there today and then out there for the Timberwolves as well. Then back to back.
See, I think I agree with Phil here, because, look, they wouldn't have played him a few nights ago if he's not healthy. Like, that tells me he's fully healthy. I get it. He missed a long time. I think they waited a couple games to put him in there out of extra caution. Yeah. And now he's ready to go. Let's play some basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to play every minute, but let's get his legs under him. Let's get him ready for some playoff basketball. Let's not act like it's our birthright here to win a championship. It's going to be hard earned.
We talked about earlier, I think you just kind of hinted at this. If you could guarantee health from the starters, but the three seed. Are you all right with that?
Absolutely.
See, I think I am too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, in this scenario, if you're the three seed or the two seed, what bothers you? It's Oklahoma City starting a season or starting a series there, potentially?
The other side of it is you start with Phoenix, probably.
Sure.
instead of, like, the Lakers.
Let's ride.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, look, it's like, it's going to be tough. It's tough. Yeah, I don't care if it's the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers, you know, the Warriors. I mean, the West is going to be tough here early on and throughout all of the playoffs. They're going to have to bring their A game.
Yeah. Hey, real quick on the way out. Heard you guys talking about Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Separate from that, you guys need to do a Google search of the Seattle Times on his school in Seattle.
Oh, really?
We had more foundation news?
Yeah, it's a disaster.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're gonna,
oh
no. Get into
chaotic
that tomorrow, so.
And toxic culture.
Wow.
That's what was written about. That school that he started and won so many awards for, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Wow. Well, the foundation ended up being a mess.
Correct.
Right? And now
correct.
The school. Ooh.
And that's the Why Not You Foundation. It's a Why Not You school. Mm-hmm. It's a charter school. They said it's a culture of toxicity and chaos. All the leadership has left. All the teachers have left. The students are bailing. It's a mess. Wow. It's going to close. It has to close. Because it's a mess.
Okay.
It's a mess. So
I'm gonna pick that up.
So someone from Seattle put that on my radar. Say, hey, you need like
Brock.
Someone from Seattle put it on my radar, and I couldn't believe it. It was written about in February. I was reading. I'm like, damn, this thing is chaos.
I didn't know about that.
This
thing
is chaos.
Today.
So interesting. All right, the Avs are back in action tonight. We were just talking about the Nugs. We'll circle back to that later. What's at stake tonight? And is someone playing for their job? That's where we'll start, coming up next. Off and rolling on a Tuesday. Appreciate Stokely and Josh hanging out for that first segment and sort of easing us into this.
Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. It is a beautiful day in Denver, Colorado, my friend. How are you?
Doing great, man. I'm doing great. I think that we're getting over the hump where it's going to continue to be beautiful every single day we step in the studio, man. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah. Are you taking advantage of the weather at all or quite yet?
No, I really am. I try to get out there with my son every day. So I'll do my workout in the morning.
Yep.
All right. And after that, make breakfast for my wife and my son if it's my turn.
Okay.
If not, then it's her turn. So we kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, sure.
And then I try to get him out there just running around. I'm trying to get him more into the sports now. We just have some ladders out there. I put a football, basketball, and a soccer ball out there.
Fun.
Yeah, he's still not grasping it all just yet. But
dude,
it's just
three,
like kind of, yeah,
right?
You know, just try to, you know, introduce things like that. And then we go on a bug hunt.
I love it. Oh, I love it.
What about you, man?
Yeah, I had my daughter home today. The woman who has watched both of my kids since they've been born, Rula Suleiman. If you know Rula Suleiman or her husband, NS, tell them we gave him a shout out here on the fam. But they're Muslim, and it's Eid, and they take a couple days off.
Yeah.
So, and our other nanny who watches our babies works here. So I wasn't going to ask her to stop what she was doing. So I was home with my daughter all day, and it was awesome. And actually, dude, I'm going to do something this week for the first time ever. My son and my wife are taking a dedicated trip together. So they've never done that.
Okay.
So they're flying back east to meet our new nephew. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Brittany and Andre, had a baby. So they're going to go visit.
Now, is your son, is he excited? Is
he's
he nervous?
Thrilled.
Okay.
He's thrilled.
Oh,
yes. But it's just going to be me and my two-year-old for 4 days, 4 or 5 days.
Uh-oh.
So but I'm really looking forward. It's not like, what am I going to do? It's like, dude, we're going to.
So you know how to do hair and stuff, right? Oh, Lord.
I mean, good enough.
Good enough.
And we're going to figure this thing out, but we're gonna have a blast, and we'll do some fun stuff, and looking forward. It's going to be beautiful, so we'll be outside a lot.
Yeah.
And so looking forward to that, but I'm also looking forward to tonight. I mean, we got Nuggets in action. We got Avs in action. We got the Rockies in action coming off a win last night.
Yes, sir.
And we'll make time for all of it today, but where we'll start is the Colorado Avalanche. Georgiev is going to get the start tonight, all right? And it's probably overly dramatic to say that he's playing for his job tonight, but he's playing for something.
Yeah.
And I want to figure out what it is. The trust from the coach, the trust from his teammates, his own self-confidence, tonight, low-key, I think is a big night for this goaltending conversation.
This is a big, big night for not only Georgiev, but the defense, too, the side of the puck,
yes,
right?
Yes.
They haven't helped him out. And I think that they need to look at each other, Georgiev, you know, Josh Manson, the players that are going to help
Kale,
him out.
Taze, Kale, yeah.
And they have to get on the same page.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep leaving Georgiev out to dry. And for Georgiev, you have to make the big, big saves. That's why you're the number one goalie here with the Colorado Avalanche. It's a privilege to be the goalie here for the Colorado Avalanche.
No question.
They're banking on you to do your part, but also that defense has to do their part along with the special teams. There's a lot of things that have to go in play that are going to help Georgiev out. But I don't think he's playing for his job necessarily. I think it's his. I think that Bednar wants it to be his. I think it's going to be his. He's been the star this whole entire year.
He has.
I think he's playing for confidence.
Okay.
I think he's playing for his teammates, the superstars, the Nathan McKinnons of the world, their confidence as well. I think it's just for Georgiev to go out there and have a solid game to understand that he is going to be the number one goalie and that they need him.
They do, man. They do. And we have the promo running right now of our conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
You don't need great goaltending to win it. The Avs did not have great goaltending 2 years ago. The Golden Knights did not have great goaltending last year. But you can't have bad goaltending. And when you're talking about in the last 138 minutes between the pipe, Georgiev has given up 14 goals, Phil. Mm. It's not all on him. We know that. We documented it. It starts with Kale and Taze and those guys, Manson, across the board. Have to put him in, you know, just better position to make saves and not, I mean, some of these high danger chances are just like, what do you want the guy to do? But then there's a night like Friday night where it's a disaster on his end. A save percentage over that 138 minutes of 83-3, that's not good. I mean, that's good if you're shooting free throws, not if you're playing goalie in the NHL. So that's got to get better. They're playing a Wild team from Minnesota who they've beaten three times this year. But two of the three have been tight games.
Oh, it's going to be a tight game.
It was 3-2 and 2-1 the first two contests, and then last week was 5-2. So it's an opportunity for Georgie to kind of get right tonight against a team that they've owned and is not high-powered offensively.
Yeah, I mean, this is a get-right game for not only Georgiev, Zach, but the whole entire team, right? We took two butt whoopings.
Yep.
Now we have to find ourselves. It's a home game. Go out there, handle business, dominate the game. All right, the superstars need to be the superstars. We only have four games left.
Yeah, that's it.
Four games left. It's a tune-up, right? At this time, it's tune-up time, right? Get you guys' confidence. Get that team chemistry down. All right, Val. We haven't heard from Val in a little while now.
I know
he's been banged up and got back, but it'll be good to see him have a big night tonight.
Yeah, it will. And then also Mikko Rantanen, seen yesterday skating after taking just a hell of a hit. On Friday night against Edmonton.
Yeah.
Concussion, but he was back out there skating around and hearing from Jared Bednar a little bit earlier today, it sounds like he could be back in the fold as early as, what do we say, Saturday. Because after tonight, I mean, think about it. They don't play again until Saturday. That's an unusual break during the NHL season. How about that stat about the Nuggets?
Mm.
That they have been playing every other day. They have not had 2 days off in a month.
They're tired. They're a little tired, man. They've been out there working like a dog. All right, but it's time. And if you're the champions, if you're champs, if you want to do it again, that's just what's gonna happen. It comes with the territory. But yeah, it's gonna be good for them to get a little bit of time off, Zach, after these back-to-back games, right?
No question about it. And it'll be good for the Avs to get some time off after tonight, ahead of Saturday, get Mikko back, and just finish the season strong. And it's interesting to look at the NBA slate. The Nuggets have four games left.
Yep.
The Avs have four games left. They both start the playoffs as a league on the same exact day, yet the Avs will go, I don't think a full week, but quite a bit longer. Nuggets are done on Sunday, but because of the play-in, like while the play-in games are happening and the Nuggets are chilling, the NHL season is still kind of going.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting dynamic there. And then one more question about back to the goaltending situation, which is the most pressing to this franchise right now. Okay, Georgiev obviously struggling. How confident would you actually be if this is a playoff game and it's Anonin's number called?
Not confident at all, Zach. I think Anonin has only been in
think he started 14 total games.
14 total games, and honestly, one of them, other than him being pulled out when Georgiev was acting a fool, was he played against one playoff team. One playoff team.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think Drew and I were talking about it, actually, before we got into it. Just one playoff team. So are you confident with that, playing with one playoff team? And then was it Nashville that he came in relief
in the Nashville game? Yeah, so he's played against two playoff teams, but he didn't start the Nashville game. He came in relief, shut him out after Georgiev got pulled. But the only playoff team that Onanen has faced this year was the Tampa Bay Lightning back in February.
Okay.
And they lost 6-3.
And I said he started 14 games.
Yeah.
That's for his career.
Yeah.
It's just 11 this year. All right.
Yeah,
so
I'm not confident.
And if you are, I'd ask you what it was based off of.
See, this is the thing, Zach. If Onanen was one of those guys that was a savvy vet that has played in games, has played in multiple playoff games before, then I think we would have a goalie controversy going on.
Sure.
But because Onanen is pretty much a rookie, you can't put him out there right now. You know, I just don't trust that.
Yeah. Will we see Onanen start a playoff game at any point this postseason?
Oh, sadly, we will. We will.
What do you guys think behind the glass, real quick? I know we got to go. Will we see the juice, Onanen, start a game in the playoffs?
I go with no. I think we'll see him in relief, but I don't think he's going to start a playoff game.
Okay. Kamaje?
I don't think he will start one. I mean, look, we're talking about a guy who has the potential to be a number one goalie down the line. There's a guy that's in front of him that had a unique story as a number two as well. So if you think he's not picking up on some of this stuff, he's not slowly trying to grasp the wheel here. Don't fool yourself.
Well, the Avs, it's a fun little stat, not so fun on the way out here before we shift gears. The Avs have allowed 4 goals or more 35 times this year. For context, in the Stanley Cup season, they gave up 4 goals 25 times. So they've done that 10 more times this year than the Cup year with games still on the schedule. So interesting stat there to put in your pipe. All right. Tonight, we are going to see Jamal Murray, Should we? And how different are those two questions? That's coming up next.
You know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
After all these years, this thing still goes so hard. Love it. All right, a couple fascinating dynamics at play tonight in Denver sports. And with the Nuggets, man. Something's got to give. I want to talk about Jamal here in just a second. And if we should see him tonight, will we see him? And have some news already on the availability front that we'll pass along in just a second. But here's the interesting dynamic. And I know you've heard of this. I heard the guys in the morning talking about it, Stokely and Josh. I'm sure you've seen it online. But Denver, for whatever reason, and I legitimately do not know what this reason is, the Nuggets just suck in Utah.
Mm.
6 consecutive losses, 1-14 in Salt Lake City during the Michael Malone era. 1-14.
And I don't get it because, honestly, Utah is just up the street.
Of course it is.
Like, literally, it's like a smaller Colorado. And so you would think, like, you get there, you don't have to get acclimated. You just go out there, you play, you come home. It takes what? Maybe an hour to get back home?
It's got to be something like that.
Like, so it's easy.
It's the shortest road trip that the Nuggets have.
Yeah. And I know the Jazz are tough. The Jazz have always been tough. They're not good, but they're tough.
But do you hear yourself? You know what I mean?
They're not good, but they're tough.
But you know, in the first half, or maybe even 2/3 of the Malone era, the Jazz were competing. I mean, when they had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and I mean they were competing. Now they've blown it up, or they will continue to blow it up. And none of their dudes are playing tonight. Lauri Markkanen, All Star, he's not going to play. John Collins not going to play. Jordan Clarkson, Sixth Man of the Year, is not going to play. But the other dynamic is, for as bad as Denver has been in Salt Lake, that's how bad as the Jazz are right now. They have lost 12 consecutive games. That is the third longest losing streak in the history of the Jazz organization. So something's got to give here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we should go in there and wreck shop, right? We should go in there, take it over. If the players like Jokic are playing, which they're going to play, they should be out of it like the Atlanta game, maybe even faster. because they don't have any players playing.
Right.
I'm playing right now for the Utah Jazz. You didn't know that?
You could suit up. You could suit up.
Or do I get a check for them? Like I wonder how much my check could be.
You want all those NBA checks just for playing a game, man. Just for playing a game.
I'll go suit up.
I'll tell you what, who were we looking at on the hockey side last week? I think we were looking at, like,
the goalies.
Igor Shesterkin's contract. I think it was Igor or Vasilevsky or one of those two.
I think it was Igor because we were talking about, like, yeah, he's considered one of the two or three best goalies in the league. Makes, like, $8 million.
Yeah.
It was six.
It was six.
$6 million. Yeah.
And I pulled up the Nuggets payroll and, like, on any given night, the best goalie in the world makes as much money as Reggie Jackson does to come off the bench for Denver. For the Nuggets. It's just wild.
How much does Jay Huff make? Because if Jay Huff is making more than the goalies, it's outrageous.
No, he's probably making like...
like 400, 500,000?
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that.
Speaking of Jay Huff, you see his little Euro step.
Yeah.
He got a little loose with it.
Jay Huff. He'll be a trivia question here in a couple years.
Because of Will.
Because of Will Peterson, who called him Jack Huff. Interestingly enough, a couple weeks ago by mistake. All right, Schlereth just texted me, stink. And he says, short flight to Kansas City and Vegas. Oh, jeez. I thought he was going to give me context about the flight to Salt Lake. He said it's a short flight to KC and Vegas. How come the Broncos can't beat them?
Oh,
which is classic. Oh, stink snark there.
I thought he was going to say, short flight, Zach, get over here and give me a cheeseburger.
So tonight, do you want to see Jamal Murray?
I do. Zach, he's been out for so long and he's had multiple different injuries throughout the whole entire season. Okay, we got 4 games left. You talked about and you complained about the stamina. So we'll go out there. He's going to be put on a time limit. He's only going to be out there for a little while anyway. Jazz suck. So he's not going to be out there long. Let him go out there, run around, shoot a little bit, pass, get kind of acclimated back into being with the team. I thought we were going to get Aaron Gordon as well, because if he was healthy, he would be playing as well, because Malone wants to see his guys out there as a whole. Yeah. They haven't been like that for a while.
In the last hour, Aaron Gordon has been ruled out for tonight. So we're not going to see AG. If it was a playoff game, I'm sure he would play.
For sure.
But it's an opportunity against a team like the Jazz to occupy both lanes of trying to win and playing guys like Jokic and KCP and Michael Porter Jr. and resting a guy like Gordon. You do make sense. You do make sense with wanting to see Jamal. And someone like me who was pointing out how slow of a starter Jamal is, just in general, to start seasons historically. That's why he hasn't been an all-star. He's at the peak of his powers. Everyone knows he's an all-star. He's an all-NBA caliber guy. If you look at his Octobers through the years, he just takes some time. So that's a fair point. But my thing is it's like if you couldn't play in a basketball game just 5 days ago, I don't want to see you play back-to-back nights. With the playoffs starting in, I mean, what are we talking about? 11 days?
Yes, crazy.
11 days, and God forbid. And a part of me is living in my fears. I know that. But it's based off something. I waited for 2 years for this guy to get healthy. And there's just 4 games left in the season. If you can't beat the Utah Jazz without their guys, who have lost 12 in a row, with Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., KCP, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, I don't know what to tell you.
But see, that's the thing. We know we can beat the Utah Jazz. But we also know that when the playoffs start, Jamal's not going to get the time off that he wants. Now, he's going to be able to play, and he's going to rest and play, do something like that. But we need to see if he can handle this. Can he handle back-to-back? That's it. Once he can handle that back-to-back, like...
But why are you worried about if he can handle a back-to-back?
Well, I'm just worried because...
There's no back-to-back in the
playoffs. You want to know why? Because your body still is going to tell you something. If you could go a back-to-back, then you know that if I get to play a game and rest a day, I'm fine. And I think that's what they want to see. On top of that, this is what Malone, I think, wants to see out there. He's going to start switching up rotations. He's going to try to start seeing what's going to look like in the playoffs. Jamal with whoever else is out there, just with Jamal and Jokic, right?
Maybe playing with the bench.
For sure. Because we still don't know about the bench. As much as we talk about, hey, the bench is going to be fine, I think Malone wants to see it out there now. He has Murray back. You know, he doesn't have Aaron Gordon, but he has Jokic playing, so he might kind of mess around with it. This is the time to do that. They're going to blow out this team. So go out there and put your bench with some of the starters and start piecing together what it may look like in the playoffs.
All right, we shall see. Important 48-hour stretch for Denver. Important 48-hour stretch. if you don't win tonight in Salt Lake, tomorrow doesn't matter because you don't have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You need to go 4-0 to finish the season to get the number one seed. There is kooky scenarios where you could lose one. It could, just make it simple. Win the four games. Get number one seed, get home court throughout the playoffs. All right, there was something that happened in the last 24 hours in Denver sports that made me go, ooh, I'm going to keep my eye on that. And I'll tell you exactly what it was coming up next. All right, there was something I saw in the last 24 hours in Denver sports that made me go, huh. I am going to be keeping my eye on this as a theme for the next 6 months.
Mm, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know what it was? It was the attendance at Coors Field.
Yeah.
It was the attendance at Coors Field.
The attendance.
The Rockies have been a bit of, have had a layer of Teflon on them when it comes to people coming to their games. And that's been maybe the biggest knock against the franchise is that, oh, doesn't matter if they put out a winning or losing product.
They're going to be there.
People are going to go to the games, and therefore Dick Monfort has the best, you know, business strategy. And the best business strategy would not be spending any money and having people come to the games. That would be the best. The Monforts spend money. They're in the middle of the league at spending. But what I'm curious of is that over the next few months, does the worm turn? And does that layer of Teflon come off a little bit? Where you're still going to see people come in droves if the Mets are coming and the Dodgers are coming whatever. But is it sustainable against teams like Arizona, where it has been in the past? And this is what I'm talking about. Check this out. Last night at Coors Field, and I saw this, where did I see this? Andrew Mason had this. They had an announced attendance. And this is what was announced, which is oftentimes to be different when who's actually in the seats. But it was announced that there was 18,800 people there last night.
Mm, so that you're saying they're lying.
Oh, I know they're lying. All the teams do.
They do.
No
they
one's worse do. At it than the Broncos.
No, there would be times where I was playing and they would come across the screen. Sold out. And I'm looking up there. I'm like, yo, the whole bowl isn't sold out. So how is it sold out?
Or it'll be like there's 6,000 no-shows. And it's like, wait a second. If this thing fits 70, there's got to be 20,000 people missing here. and how they can get around that is, well, tickets actual sold different than people actually showing up for the games. And so why is that significant that 18,800 people were there last night? That is the second smallest announced attendance for a non-pandemic Rockies game in the last decade.
Mm.
Phil, it's like the fourth home game of the year. It wasn't freezing cold. It wasn't like there was it was a rain delay and it didn't start until...
Yeah, it's been beautiful out there.
Dude, to have under 19,000 people in like game number whatever it is at home. I mean, what was it? I think it was actually the fourth home game, right? Yeah, the fourth home game of the year to have less than 19,000 and it be the second smallest non-pandemic Rockies home game in the last 10 years. That is, like, if you're Dick Monfort, you're going, oh. And for someone like me who follows this, the Rockies have been in the upper half of attendance no matter what product they roll out, and I wonder if this is the year that it changes.
It's going to change. Just like we talked about yesterday, right? After a while of getting your butt whooped, and this is like the Denver Broncos, if you don't win after a while, people stop showing up. They stop caring. They want a superstar to be out there, but they want the superstar to be out there exploding. With the Colorado Rockies, the so-called superstar we have, Chris Bryant, one day he has a home run, the next he's hurt, the next he's there, he doesn't get a hit. Like, they're booing him. All right, Charlie Blackmon, old, right? He should just be there as I remember when he was in his heyday. No, he's one of our better players
now. I know, it's like, true.
That's crazy.
At 37 years old.
37 years old. And I think that this, right, we heard this from Dick Monfort, and it's that cockiness of, I don't have to put it too much on the table, and you guys are still going to show up. And it's for us fans and us here to say, okay, Like, that's what you think. After a while, we're going to stop showing up.
Yeah.
Because we still want to see winning. We still want to see the Colorado Rockies win, not just show up, pay for an expensive hot dog that's like $30 that's fake. All right?
Yeah.
And a view of us getting our butts whooped. Like, we're going to get tired of that because you can only watch a view for so long before you're like, okay, I want to see what's going on in the game other than, uh-oh, another home run is hit. Like, it's just, you're going to get tired of it, Zach.
Well, I'm curious if this holds up. And what I'm really curious is, to boil it down to a question, do the Rockies not finish in the upper half of attendance for the first time in a very, 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 very long time? And if this is the year where it happens. And my buddy Dante Gomez, who works here behind the scenes, saying, hey, the national championship is Monday night. I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think baseball, first of all, college basketball has never, on the men's side, has never been less relevant than it is right now. And they play the national championship every single year.
Every year.
On a Monday night. And this is the smallest. And it's the fourth home game of the year. And it's the second smallest attendance in the last decade. They played the national championship every year over the last decade. So what makes this different? And I just have my eye on this story here because it could force the Rockies to do something if things keep trending this way, which is what a lot of people who want to boycott the team are hoping, that, hey, just stop showing up and maybe they'll do something. We'll see. Drew Spivak behind the glass, you have some numbers for context?
Yeah, and I was just thinking about this because I remember last year we were kind of having this discussion back in April as well because the attendance numbers were down, especially weeknight games.
Yeah.
We were like, well, maybe this is the year that the fans finally started boycotting. Yes, once the weather warmed up in May, things turned around and there were a lot of people in the stands. But I'm looking back at last year's attendance numbers. So you go back, game four last year.
Oh.
Almost to the day.
Okay. Hold on a second. Now let's get creative. Can we guess? Do you have the number right there?
I do. Now,
okay.
Now I will give you this. Game four last year was on a Sunday afternoon against the Washington Nationals.
Sunday afternoon.
I don't remember what the weather was like, but what do you think the number was for game four on a Sunday afternoon against the Washington Nationals last year?
27,000.
Okay. Phil, thoughts?
I'm going to go 25.
30,000.
Wow.
Okay. Then very next night, a Monday night. Okay.
Similar
to last night.
I like this.
Against the St. Louis Cardinals, a team who draws really well. Nolan Arenado coming back. What do you think the number was last year on that game five on Monday, April 10th?
Oh, gosh. Again, we don't know the weather.
What time was it again?
It was 6:40, roughly, yeah.
Because that matters.
I'll go with 30,000.
I'm going to go 40,000.
24,000.
Wow.
Last year.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, that's 6,000 more than what the announced was last night.
Year over year.
But so you're seeing a pretty significant drop off. And last night was not a night where it was cold. I mean, 45, 50 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
On an April night in Colorado, that's pretty not bad.
Yeah, yeah. And the sun was still out when first pitch happened. You know, the Diamondbacks don't move the needle.
No.
By the way, you remember who the Rockies started their season against? The Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
This is baseball. This is why baseball is so stupid, and the decision makers and schedule makers and publicists of that sport. Like, dude, you just started the season. You just played the Diamondbacks. And then they transitioned to the Cubs, and then it was the Rays, right? It was like four games and then three games. So you had seven games, and then you're back playing the Diamondbacks in a series again. How stupid is that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Too many games.
Freeland was better yesterday. That's a positive.
He was.
They won the game, which was noteworthy.
It keeps you going. It keeps you alive.
It keeps my season over 59 and a half wins alive. And Freeland, it's hard to believe, he shaved 10 runs off his ERA. That's how bad the first two games were.
So he's only 16 now?
He's only had a 16 ERA. But, dude, he came in and it was like
27, I think, wasn't it?
27, yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. We'll keep our eye on the attendance, and we'll see what really happens once it starts to really get nice around here, and if the odds or if the Rockies can still have that coat of Teflon on their attendance numbers. Okay, the NFL draft is 15 days away. If we were drafting the current Broncos roster, who would the top five picks be? That's coming up next.